It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Jesus said, I tell you, if the people were silent, the very stones would shout. I bring you greetings from your sister congregation down the road, United Lutheran Church, and it is good to be with you. I've had the pleasure of working with Ben as he was an intern here. I got to be his supervisor, and now he is teaching me more and more. Paul's word from Romans comes to us, and it could have easily been written in the Washington Post or maybe in a book on creation these days. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves. These words may hit a little close to home as we hold our breath in concern that the smoke of August may soon be upon us from uncontrolled wildfires. We hold our breath and watch our modern day reports. Maybe you saw some of them in Florida. Swimmers encounter an ocean that feels like steamy syrup. Vermont flooding. Farms suffer more damage and loss than during Irene. China logs 52.2 degrees Celsius, which I had to look up 126 degrees Fahrenheit, as extreme weather rewrites history. These were just from 2 days this week. The whole world has been groaning in labor pains until now. It almost makes me want to sing like the hee-haw episodes of old, right? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, blatant misery. Oh! Ben's too young to know that hee-haw reference. But this isn't individual bad luck. It feels like the whole world is affected. And of course, the ones that feel it the most are the poor and the downtrodden. But in case we think that this is something new, our biblical story reminds us, well, it is nothing new at all. It isn't difficult to find material in the biblical account for our theme that we are sharing at Central United and Emmaus. Breakdown, destruction, degradation, decay, grief. As you have possibly picked up by now, this week is a week of lament. I could tease Pastor Ben for inviting me here to preach on lament. Nice to meet you also. But Deacon Claire is at United. Pastor Andrew, who you heard last week, is at Emmaus preaching on this same theme. Our biblical story allows us for time to lament and grieve. From Lamentations to the Psalms, to our readings this morning from Jeremiah and Romans. But as Christians, we must remember that our lament is never to be done alone. Rather, lament, we are reminded, is a collective response to tyranny, injustice, and degradation. And today, we look specifically at the degradation of creation. So I wonder, is it fair to say that as Christians, we are called to grieve differently, that we may grieve differently? Certainly Christians and non-Christians alike experience the same pain, but shouldn't it make a difference that we live in the light of Christ's resurrection? Pastor Ben provided some thoughts to our group as we met for text study. He had written up some pericopes for us to look at as we considered our text, and he wrote this: "The groaning inwardly of all creation is the experience of the present, while at the same time the redemption, our redemption, and all of creation's redemption is at hand." Maybe you have heard before that Lutherans call that the already, but the not yet. We hold things in tension. So the question I want to muse about today with you, if one may muse during a day of lament, is how does our hope in Christ change us even amid laments? We still feel all the grief, but our hope shines through because of Jesus. God alone, it seems to me, can hold together all the seeming opposites that contradict life. In and with God, we can do the same, but we remember we are never, ever the doer. So in our journey through this season of creation, we started with joy and our joyful relationality with all of creation. And today we are talking about the relationality of lament. The thing is, whether we are experiencing communal Lent or communal joy, they come out of the same human emotion. And it's emotion that God shares with us, and that is love. I've come to believe that the virtue of hope, with great irony, is the first fruit of a learned capacity to suffer wisely and calmly and generously. If we could all but get there. Just as the familiar marriage vows, where we promise to abide with our spouse in joy and sorrow and all that the years may bring, in sickness and in health, today we are invited to stay in relationship with all of creation in sickness and in health. In and through creation, God has made also that same promise to us. We think of God as a God of love, and of course that is good and right, but do you also think about a God who feels, who experiences joy and sorrow? Most people don't like to think about a God who suffers, but Jesus came to change all of that. And if God truly loves, and Jesus, of course, is our truth that God does truly love, then joy and lament, despair and delight will in mysterious ways always go hand in hand. Our climate crisis, I think, can cause us to throw up our hands and want us to stick our heads in the mud, but it all seems so big. We must never forget that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, our uncertainty, our despair. It is true that we do not always know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes with us with wordless groans, with sighs too deep for words to express. As we take time to listen to the earth, we can hear it groan. As we see the effects of climate change affecting the most vulnerable in our world, we hear the groans of humanity. And yet God has a way of bringing things in full circle in our daily lives in creation's life. It is said that the mystics believe Jesus' death and resurrection is a mystery that will complete itself. The perfection of God and God's creation is quite simply a full circle. They believed that Alpha and Omega, joy and lament, are finally the same. Through our biblical story, we are to enter all of creation with reverence. Have you taken time to step out into God's creation with reverence, seeing the beauty that is of God? Reverence. It's deep respect. The Creator is evident in creation which surrounds us. And we can see it and experience it through our senses. We are part of it. Can we be humble enough to acknowledge that we are not separate from creation? We are a part of a web of life. We have been taught that this mutual dependence is a gift. Life is a gift. I am one who has fished and hunted in the past. And I was taught by my parents and my brothers and my sister to experience all the creation, that part of my role was to take care of it as it takes care of us. Throughout Romans 8, Paul writes a sacred utterance of creation and humankind in crisis. And if we spend any time in creation at all, we know both its incredible beauty and its devastating degradation. And so today, this morning, we take some time to lament. We don't know what will emerge from this time of uncertainty, but we do know that something is being born. As part of God's creation, we never settle in gloom and despair, but do what we can to be a part of the hope and love of God to and with one another, to and with all of creation. Like a woman in labor, there is expectation in the darkness, anticipation amid the suffering, hope permeating the pain. Something new is being born and something old is being transformed. In sickness, in health, as long as we live, God will love us and all of creation. So may we respond accordingly, no matter what those headlines read. Amen.